Good song. Let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to Jonah chapter number 3. Jonah chapter number 3. I want to talk about second chances today. And I want us to go to Jonah chapter 3. Jonah has been running from the Lord and doing his own thing and going his own way. Well, I want to do that in a fun way. I want to introduce it to you in a good way. You guys have seen, some of you anyway, have seen the Groundhog movie, right? The guy wakes up and it's the same day and it goes through the same chance, second chance over and over and over, all right? Well, I got another one. This is not, has nothing to do with Groundhog Day, but here's what we want to do, all right? This will probably be the craziest thing you've ever seen me do yet, all right? How many of you are blonde? Or used to be blonde, or how many of you wish you just had hair that could be blonde? All right, well, I may alienate that group today. I hope not. But this is a blonde joke. I used to tell it on our way to camp back when I was a youth leader, all right? And I thought it was pretty good. But anyway, there was, and I need your participation in this as well, all right? How many of you can say, give her another chance? Can you do that as a whole group? Give her another chance. Better? Give her another chance. Give her another chance. You got to keep doing it. All right. Okay, good. Good. All right. You guys have gotten it. There was a mathematics competition. And literally, they brought in thousands of blondes. This was a mathematics competition of blondes in the United States. And they brought in over 10,000 to this stadium, this little convention center. And they would call them up, and they would have one up there in the competition, and they needed to get the math question correct. And so they bring in a contestant, and they asked her, they said, well, what is 10 times 25? She said 1,000. Guy said, no, I'm sorry, that's wrong. So guess what? The crowd does what you're supposed to do right now. Give her another chance. Give her another chance. Give her another chance. All right. Okay. Well, let's make it a little easier. What's 10 times 20? She thinks for a moment. 500! Some of you are still thinking about it. It's wrong. Said, no, I'm sorry, it's wrong. And the crowd says, give her another chance. Give her another chance. Give her another chance. Okay. He says, all right. He says, here it is. It's kind of a tough one for you. But he's like, what's 2 times 2? And she says, 4. And the crowd says, give her another chance. Give her another chance. Give her another chance. Some of you still don't get it. Get out your math flashcards when you get home if you don't get it, all right? But I like that one. All right. Well, let's go to the Bible, get serious, all right? What are you guys doing anyway, all right? Jonah now, he's living in willful disobedience. And he needs another chance. He needs another chance desperately. And the Lord's going to do that. The Lord's going to give him another chance. He is in willful disobedience against the will of God, the call of God to go to Nineveh and to preach the gospel because they are a people that he does not want God's mercy to be shown upon. Well, we all wish that we could have a second chance. You know, you raise your children. There's some things you wish you could do over. There's other things. Maybe sometimes some of the things that you've done or you've said or whatever, and you know your words are like toothpaste. You can't put them back in the tube and all of that. You've heard all of those things, but you just wish somehow you could get another chance to do that again. Well, we wish we could do things over. And the truth is the church is actually full of people that really kind of wish that they could do things over. I have in my notes here, but I decided not to say it, but I'll share it with you. The church is full of rejects. That doesn't sound very good, so I decided to opt out of not saying that, but I told you anyway, all right? But the there's a lot of God's could-haves. There's a lot of people in church that, man, if they would have just been obedient to God sooner, or if they just didn't make some of the mistakes that they made, what could have happened? What God could have done. And so the church is filled with that. And Jonah here, we saw in the last chapter, he's gone overboard. He's been thrown overboard. And the sea, the Mediterranean Sea, became calm as soon as he hit the water. And then a little while later, while he's treading water, we don't really know how long, he may have tread water. God may have let him tread for a while. But then sooner or later, a huge fish comes. And remember, it was prepared by God. It was sent by God. And the whale swallows Jonah up. And the Bible even says back in that chapter that he had a seaweed wrapped around his head and so forth. He's in the stench, if you would, of the belly of a whale. I don't know. I can't imagine it was a very pleasant experience. Sitting in the belly of a whale and the stench of seaweed, minnows, I don't know, coming around and getting in your mouth, you spit them out. It was a horrible place. But he finally, in this belly of a whale, he comes to his spiritual senses, if you would. And I want to pick up with this in Jonah chapter 2 and 8 through 10. Let's just look at that for a moment. The Bible says, those who regard worthless idols, they forsake their own mercy. That is, those that are worshiping worthless idols, they lose their opportunity for mercy. Now, verse number 9. But I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving, and I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Jonah is saying this in the belly of the whale. It took him that long to catch on to this. Now verse number 10. So the Lord spoke to the fish. And it vomited Jonah onto dry land. That fish was having a bellyache. And all of a sudden, whoop, out comes Jonah onto dry land. Now, I don't know. We know he got on the boat in Joppa, but he was going to Tarshish, which is quite a ways away. And so I don't know where it was when the storm was so bad and they tossed Jonah over and the whale came and got him. It could have been quite a ways away. But anyway, the Lord, the Bible tells us, he sent a fish. The fish comes, swallows up Jonah, and the boat's going that way and the whale is going that way. And so the whale takes Jonah right back to where he started. We don't know if it took him to Joppa, but it took him to the shore. It took him to land. Now look at verse 1 of chapter 3. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, and this is where we get our theme for the message today. And the word of the Lord came to Jonah, gave him the second time. God's word came to him the second time. God has not given up on Jonah. Jonah had turned his back on God. He was deliberately and purposefully running in the opposite direction of where God wanted him to go. And the Bible says, and the word of God came to Jonah the second time, saying, I think of a passage over in John chapter 5 and verse number 14. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, See, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. Jonah's been in the belly of a whale. Now he's coming to his spiritual senses. And God and Jonah, while he's in the stench of the stomach of a whale with seaweed wrapped around his head, Jonah and God are reconciled. God takes Jonah in this, and he takes him, and in the belly of a fish, God puts Jonah right back in his service. Jonah is getting a second chance. We don't receive grace in vain. When God gives you a second chance, that is His grace, that is His mercy being poured out upon you. Correction and deliverance sometimes can be very painful, but correction and deliverance, they are gracious. They are from God. When God corrects us and He turns us and He puts us in the right direction, He is being merciful and gracious to us to give us another chance. God is a God who restores. There are people in this congregation, people in this city whose lives have been certainly on the wrong track, going in the wrong direction, and really messed up by the thoughts and the attitude and the mindset of Satan himself. And yet God has, through His providence and His sovereignty and through His grace, He has reached down and He has got a hold of them, and God is able to reconcile, restore, and put back into service those that He has called to serve Him. There is none. It doesn't matter where you've been, what you've gone through. As a child of God, if God calls you and He restores you and reconciles you to Himself, you have the opportunity. He is giving you a second chance, and that is mercy, and that is grace. And God restores Jonah. And God, listen to me, you can run. Jonah was running. He was running as hard as he could from God and what God wanted him to do. God told him very clearly, Jonah, this is what I want you to do. But the Ninevites don't deserve that. They don't deserve your mercy. They don't deserve. And so he ran as hard as he could in the opposite direction. And God, what does God do? God lets him run. He lets him run for a ways. But guess what? God created a fish, and He had a fish there, and He puts Jonah in the belly of a fish, and He gets his attention, and now Jonah is spit out on the dry ground, and now he's ready to pay attention and to listen to what God says for him to do. That's a second chance. Now, if you think about it, if it were you or I, and Jonah did that to us, we probably would say, let him sit in the belly of the whale. Let him have every bit of it, because that's what he deserves. But God didn't. God gave him a second chance. But I want you to see something. Maybe you're here today and you're running from God. Maybe you're here today and God has very clearly, through His Word and through circumstances, given you clear instructions, very clear. And yet you run the opposite way. You don't want to hear it. You don't want to listen to that. I want to tell you something. God always, always, always wins. If He's out to get you and find you, He will find you. He hasn't lost track, okay? He knows exactly where you are. And so God is right there, and He's like, Jonah, and He gets his attention. and he's going to be used by God. And being used by God is oftentimes evidence that we are at peace with God when God can use us. Well, let's go back to Jonah chapter 3 and verse number 2. The Bible says that the word of the Lord came to him the second time, and now in verse number 2, what's the voice of the Lord say? What's the word of the Lord? He says, arise, go. Remember? We've talked about those plenty of times. Arise, go. And he says, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you. Wow. God didn't even tell him what to say yet. He said, I just want you to get up and I want you to go to Nineveh and I'll tell you what to say. Sometimes God has something for us to do and we have no clue, and God just said, you know what? Just obey. I'll take care of the rest. I'll guide the rest. I'll handle the rest. Now, I want you to think about this. Arise and go. I got a map of Nineveh, or where Nineveh is, and relation to Joppa. Jonah is down on the shore somewhere there along the Mediterranean, maybe back in Joppa. That's where he took off from. But he's back there. Now, Nineveh is actually where Mosul, Iraq is. They've excavated and they found portions of the wall, and there's actually things that they have, different idols that the people had and things like that. They've actually rebuilt some of the things out of original stones, and some of the idols and things that they have excavated there are in a museum in London and so forth. But I just want you to see the distance here. Nineveh is about 1,400 miles from Joppa. Close to 1,450, somewhere in there, from Joppa to Nineveh. Now, you do that on your Expedia, and you know, it gives you directions how to drive, take the bus, to ride your bike, or to walk. Nineveh didn't have a bus, he didn't have a car, and he probably didn't have a bicycle. So I'm going to guess that he walked. When you put that in there to walk, it shows that it should take you just 234 hours. Has anybody here just walked for 234 hours? You do know that that's nearly 10 days, right? 24 hours a day. So it's going to take some time for Jonah to get to Nineveh. If he would have gone to Tarshish, that's like 4,500 miles. Thank God the whale picked him up. That'd be a long ways. But around Nineveh, there were two walls. There was an outer wall and an inner wall. These walls were not like, you know, we think, you know, little walls would be. These walls were 50 feet thick. You could drive three or four chariots wide around the top of them. 100 feet high. I don't know, that's pretty close to the height of most water towers. A lot of them. So 50 feet thick, 100 feet high, and several miles around the city. These also had about 1,500 towers built into these walls that were 200 feet high. How would you like that to be your job? Get up and be the watchtower guard. You'd only have to walk about 340 steps to get up there. And 340 steps down. It'd be a lot of walking, a lot of climbing. 200-foot towers, 1,500 of them, that's a lot. I love it, though. The message here that God has for Jonah is the same, but Jonah has been changed. The message God's going to tell Jonah to tell the Ninevites is the same. Repent. The truth is, Jonah is the one that has been changed by these events. Go there then and tell, I'll tell you what to say once you get there. That reminds me a little bit of Abraham and Isaac. When Abraham, God says, I want you to take your son Isaac and go offer him up. I want you to go. How many prophets and people in the Old Testament did God say, I want you to go do this. I want you to go. And then later he'd tell them what to do. Abraham, by faith, he took Isaac, his son, and loaded him up with wood and fire and headed up the mountain. Look at chapter 3 and verse number 3. So Jonah arose. Still doesn't know what he's saying to Nineveh, but he arose to go. So Jonah arose and he went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now he's being obedient. Now Nineveh was that exceedingly great city, a three-day journey in extent. That is, the width of the city. It'd take you 3 days to go across Nineveh. Now remember, Jonah has been walking, traveling from wherever the whale spit him up on the land to get to Nineveh. Now he's got a huge, huge city that would take you 3 days to get across. Verse number 4. And Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk, and then he cried out and he said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Well, that probably was an extremely dangerous thing to say. And now he's 1 day's journey into the middle of the city. I don't know about you, but I can't imagine walking into a city like that filled with people and military and all kinds of people around you and just get up and say, Nineveh's going to fall in 40 days. You guys got 40 days. That had to be a terrible message. I love what David said in Psalm 119, verse 71. This really reminds me of Jonah. It says, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. You know that? Sometimes afflictions can be good for us because we learn God's statutes. That's what David said. That's what Jonah is learning. Afflictions driven men to God for a long time, or sometimes they drive men from God. Jonah obeyed. He didn't run. Jonah, we don't see where he gives any excuses but God. It says he arose and he went. He repented, I believe, when he was in the belly of that whale. I believe his mind and heart were changed. He changed his mind and he changed his direction into a new path. Affliction sometimes puts us right in the place that we need to be. Sometimes affliction puts us right in the place that we deserted, where we ran from. Jonah returns to duty. He returns to what God wanted him to do in the first place. And everyone, you see, has the duty, if you would, to conform to God's word. We all have the duty to conform to God's word. And listen to me, we're to conform to God's word cheerfully and cheerfully obey it. That's the hard part sometimes. Is to cheerfully be obedient. How do we like it as parents if we encourage our children or we give them instructions and they do it, but they don't like to do it? I don't know if they say this here, but they did in Maine because I remember my mother saying it. But if she gave me instruction to do something and I didn't really want to do it, you know, I might bang it around or whatever, you know, and whatever, just kind of let her know that I didn't really care about doing that. And my mother would say, you can do it without slatting it around. That's a main term, I guess. Do you know what slatting is or slat? I that's what she told me. So we sometimes, God says, do this, and we slat things around. We bang things around. We just kind of want him to know, I don't really want to do this. But you see, real obedience, true obedience, is when we hear his word and we obey it cheerfully. Wow. Jonah's message didn't change, but Jonah's heart had changed. That's what had changed. His heart had changed. I want you to think about this. Jonah, let's just be honest, he's not the first or the last to get a second chance. Just think about your own life for a moment. Has God given you a second chance? Has he given you a second chance? Some of us, if we're honest, we'd have to say, he's given me a lot of chances. Jonah was not the first. He is not the last to get a second chance. My friend, if you're here this morning, I want to encourage you. God is a God of second chances. If you will repent, change your direction, God is certainly right there, ready, willing, and able to give you a second chance to walk with him, to serve him, to follow him. Maybe you're here this morning and maybe you've never, ever trusted him as your Lord and Savior. My friend, you're on the path to a devil's hell. And unless you repent and change your direction and receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, you'll split hell wide open. I know that's unpopular. I know it's not really, you know, don't say it on TV or whatever. But hell's real. Jesus spoke about it many times. Heaven and hell are real. And without Christ as your Lord and Savior, that's where you're going. But God will give you a second chance if you'll receive his Son, the Lord Jesus, as your Savior. We'd love to show you how you can do that from God's Word, not from us, but from his Word, how you can trust him. Some of you are here and you're believers, and you know that. And God has called you, God has convicted you, God has spoken to you about things in your life, and you've kind of rebelled against him. And unfortunately, you might be even paying some price tags because of that. But I love what David said. The afflictions of the Lord, they've been good for me because they've taught me God's word. Sometimes God, not always, but sometimes God will use afflictions in our life to get our attention so that we'll surrender to him. So there might be some believers here today that maybe there's something that you need to come and you need to surrender and you need to give it up to the Lord. There might be some here that you've never followed the Lord in believer's baptism. Since you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you've never followed him in believer's baptism. That's the first step of obedience. It doesn't wash your sins away, but it shows a yieldedness and a surrender to the Lord. It shows a public testimony that, hey, I'm a believer. Some of you, maybe you need to make this your church home and get in and serve the Lord. Maybe that's what God's speaking to you about. There's all sorts of needs. I don't even pretend to know what they all are. But I want to tell you, I believe that we serve a God that will give people a second chance. And maybe you're here today and that's what you need. You need a second chance. You just need to yield and surrender your heart and your will to Him so that He might use you. Would you stand with me, please? With every head bowed and every eye closed for just a moment as we begin to get ready for our invitation, I want to encourage you, if the Lord has spoken to you, you know what the need is. Would you be obedient? Jonah, he tried to run, and God just wouldn't let him do it. My friend, don't try to run from what the Lord wants you to do. I want to encourage you, be obedient to Him. We want to give you that opportunity today. And so if God has spoken to you, my friend, I encourage you to come. I'll meet you here at the front. We'll find someone to pray with you and to help you with whatever your question is, whatever your decision is. Father, as we come before you today, Lord, we thank you that you are a God of second chances. Lord, we thank you for your mercy and your grace that you give us opportunity once again to serve you, to be obedient. Lord, I pray that you, Lord, you know the hearts. You know every need that's in this sanctuary today. I don't. It's impossible. But Lord, you do, and your Holy Spirit can work and move, and He can convict, and He can challenge. So Lord, I pray that He would just have the freedom right now this morning, that He would give folks another chance, that they might realize they're getting another chance, and they would surrender to you. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.